You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Yeah, so if you have a little oversight situation going on there, or not oversight, I'm the oversight. If you have a little bit of a overlooked situation there, then you need to get after that, okay? Because Valentine's Day is a big deal these days. Okay, I don't participate, but. But just a friendly reminder from your friends here on All Marine Radio that, do not neglect. You neglect Valentine's Day at the peril of your own existence. The, talking to friends yesterday, and I'm kind of curious. I'm going to give a little advice to all you Democratic type people out there. I don't understand how do you think you're going to win the country with the policies? Okay, given the people that elect the president, right? So there's about 35% of the electorate skews Democrat. About 30% of the population skews Republican, which leaves 35% that splits in any given election and ultimately elects the president. So when you see Democrats in the room, right, the air is being sucked out of the room in the Democratic room, and by the most radical of Democrats, they suck the air right out of the room. I mean, if you're a Democrat, like, is this what my party's become? Right? And so, how do we get elected to the presidency? How do we get that office back? If we can't appeal to the national voter and say, hey, we're worthy of your trust and you can elect us and blah, 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 blah. I don't know how you get that done. I don't know how the math works that gets that done. So I was having a conversation about that last night. I would be really curious to mm-hmm. I would be really curious to listen to, and then somebody, you know, the people I was with, tell me that, oh, well, they'll just tack really liberal for the primary and the party primary, and then they'll tack back to the center for the national election. You can't do that anymore, though, because everything you say is recorded. What are you going to do, change your tune all of a sudden and become a moderate? So the it's kind of an interesting little, well, it's not. If you're a Democrat, to me, I'd be worried, you know? Like, all we see in the media is that girl from, AOC, is that, those are her initials? I should learn her name. I don't know it. But that girl from, what is she, from Queens or Brooklyn or something like that? I mean, she dominates the news with her new Green Deal. Okay? And that's what you see from the Democratic Party. Well, I just don't see the voters that elected Bush, Clinton, who Bill Clinton ran very much as a moderate, right? His wife ran as a moderate. Then they elected Bush, Barack Obama. Now, Barack Obama might have been a liberal, but that's not how he campaigned. He campaigned as a moderate. And then Donald Trump. So is the thought that the nation's going to go from Donald Trump, be extremely dissatisfied, and then it's going to skew way left? I just, I don't know. Maybe I don't understand the country anymore, but the forces that elected Donald Trump and then reacted to his latest speech, and which is crazy because there were Democrats that reacted, and when you see that number of, what was it, 76%? You know, had a favorable impression of the speech. Well, look, the Democrats own like 35% of the population, lock, stock, and barrel. So that means 10% of Democrats like the speech. Oh, that could never happen. Well, if you look at the numbers on his speech, you know, it did. So how do you address that? That part of the country that elects the president with this left-leaning, you know, you have, you know, socialism talking craziness, in my opinion. I'd love to be in the room and hear the intellectual premises that build this argument, because I don't see how it can happen. And again, you cannot unsay the things that you said. So this whole idea of, well, they'll portray themselves as liberal and then in the national election conservative, you can't do that anymore. Your political positions on these things are going to be every word is going to be recorded. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you today as a little bit of just a thought. I watch it and it's head scratching because the Democratic Party, and I don't know if it's a combination of certain people's money and the media that continues to drive the Democratic Party further and further to the left. Because the Democratic Party that I grew up, you know, my mom was a Democrat. I mean, they were the party of the working people. And very much what Joe Biden kind of represents. But Joe Biden's now considered a conservative. So if you're a Democrat, you had different stances on labor. You had different different positions on issues that affected working people. But they were still hard on defense. You know, there's certain things that, you know, we're not going to change. So you had social policies that they looked at differently. But it wasn't what we see today. And now, you know, you see the rhetoric that you come out and see from, again, the glamour stars of the Democratic Party is, you know, their rhetoric against Department of Homeland Security, and we don't need anything at the border. Just continue what's going on down there. We're all good with that. I mean, and that defies what everybody sees on television. You see this horrible human catastrophe continuing to unfold down there because we don't control our own border. So, again, so for moderates, I scratch my head. So if anybody out there has insight for me in terms of how this makes sense, I'd be all ears, because I, to me, it doesn't make sense, and it doesn't make sense for the part of the country that will ultimately elect the president of the United States, and that is those swing voters. As Republicans have nowhere else to go but the Republican nominee. The Democrats, same. But it's the moderates, right? The moderates, they have all kinds of places to go. Or at least they have another option. They can go either way. And so they decide the election. How do you craft it so that it makes sense to them and it attracts them? And skewing left, I just don't see it. And I mean, to wit, you had their decision to run Hillary Clinton. Now, I would tell you that was wrong, right? That they should have let the primary, but come on, Mac. Are you that much of a rube? Do you not know how this happens anymore? Anyway. All right, let me tell you what we're going to do on the program today. We're going to do our Lynch-Kenney Roundtable this week's version today. Chris Woodbridge, editor and publisher of the Gazette and the publisher of Leatherneck Magazine, he will join us tomorrow. So you'll hear from, and I think we got Tim Lynch's communications event. We have that that communication stuff. We have that ironed out. So he will join us via the wonders of voice over IP and not have to deal with his very, very bad cell phone service down there in McAllen, Texas. So we'll do that today. So we'll kick it around with them. And then there might be somebody else that's coming on. I invited somebody, but I have yet to receive a response. So I'm not going to jinx that. Anyway, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this day official. The eve of Valentine's Day. So make sure you get out there and make sure that you do what you're supposed to do, whatever the hell that is. Dedicated to, I bagged on him yesterday, but the governor of the state of California, who put an end to the ridiculous bullet train that was going to take 40 years to construct and about a gazillion dollars to finish. It was the mother of all boondoggles started under Jerry Brown, and Gavin Newsom put an end to that. So, this is dedicated to him in the hopes that he continues to pull his head out of his rectum and governs a state like California in a way that, in some form of balanced way. So putting an end to that stupidity was a good deal. So congratulations, Governor.
We are proud to play the battle of the United States. betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. So, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man. But I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
There's that word, winning. That's right. Time for us to check the weather. The weather around Marineland. It's been cold in Marineland here lately. So we will go check it out. The currently sunny and 44 degrees in Quantico. Good for them. Excuse me. Clouds of 55. Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Sunny and 44 in Granbury, Texas, where the gunner lives. 29 Palms is cloudy and 48. That's an 18-degree difference in the course of a day or two. Clouds and 47 at Pendleton. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 65. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is clear, dark, and 58 degrees. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is cold. Clear, dark, and 47 early in the evening there. I mean, it's going to get cold in Afghanistan tonight. Cloudy and 53 at the home, the corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio here, where Studio One is located. That's right. Feels the wind chill sitting at 51, looking for a high of 61 today with rain. 63 tomorrow and raining. And then on Friday, 59 degrees and raining. Not like something bad happened to California. I'm looking at a picture that shows the jet stream. And the jet stream, like, moved all of a sudden. It was coming across the Pacific, and what happened is it, like, hooked up into Alaska. And then it hooked south, like this crazy S, up to Alaska, south to into the Pacific, and then boom, across California. So that's somebody's explanation of why we have this horrible, horrible weather. Yeah, nobody's happy about it. I am not happy about it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll check marine news on the back side of this. There's some interesting stories, so don't touch your dial. More of All Marine Radio, and a shout out to friends listening at the Marine Corps League headquarters in Virginia. So good morning, boys and girls. Don't be goofing off today. Make sure you get your work done, and we'll be right back. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good,
but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope.
So, like, late last night, my daughter walks in and she says, Father. And whenever she says father, that means she's going to talk about something that she doesn't want to talk to me about. And I said, yeah, what's up? And she says, I'm struggling in AP, which stands for Advanced Placement History. I'm sitting in AP, struggling in AP history. And the teacher talked with some of us about dropping the class. I said, really? AP what? AP history, right? Storytelling. So we listen to stories, we tell the story back to somebody. History, right? Monkeys learn history. This is a different form of history. This is AP history. Yeah, so I'm not really sure what the difference is. But anyway, we have a conversation about, yeah, we don't quit shit. I don't care if you get a C in the class. Yeah. Parenting 101. Don't let them quit. At some point she'll learn. She's only 15. The learning curve is going to get very steep, though, here in the not-too-distant future. Because that's what they need. Is what they don't get. Oh, really, honey? Is it too hard? Well, let's just quit then. Because that's what will help you in life. But on the bright side, gonna swim on the varsity swimming team. So we had a conversation about that. So wait a minute. So we're gonna quit an academic class because we're doing shitty, but we're gonna do extracurriculars. What's wrong with that picture? Don't you have to be academically eligible to compete in sports? Or is that a thing of the past too? You know what? That's probably a thing of the past. Because that would just like ruin their self-esteem, right? Oh, there's consequences to your behavior. Oh, we can't do that. It might hurt their feelings. That's what goes on every day across this country. And then the course of action is, no, go ahead and quit and sure, swim. Right? Anyway, so then the discussion went, like, if we quit anything, we're going to quit, you know, sports, and you're going to get after it academically. What? I'm not sure how this conversation got away from me like this. Damn it, I knew talking to him wasn't a good idea. If parents, like, who needs them? There's such a better way to do things. Anyway, yeah, that's all across the country. And I would tell you this, it is pretty interesting watching how that shit collides in an institution like the Marine Corps as people that grow up, you know, these days, and there are very few consequences. Timeout corner. Like, what a joke, man. I see timeout corner, in my opinion, is a joke. Right? Kids they go and play in timeout corner. So instead of around the house playing, I'm going to have to go play in the corner here. And I've learned, I mean, I've been in timeout corner so much, I mean, I've learned all the cracks in the corner by the wall over here, because I've stared at them. I know how to play games over here. I know how to amuse myself. So, like, timeout corner is not that bad. That's not a way to correct behavior. So, anyway, I mean, just my thought about it. I mean, when your parent looks at you and says no, right, and you don't feel any trepidation about defying them, that's not a good road to go down. So. And then, so what you see in the Marine Corps is the mid-management of the Marine Corps is an earlier version of that, okay? Most of them are timeout corner kids, too. But they're now in charge of enforcing the rules. And guess what they don't like to do? They don't like to enforce the rules. So I would submit to you, the problem isn't younger Marines, because they come in, they're blank canvas. What do you want from me? The problem is... I would say up to the rank of lieutenant colonel, they don't want to enforce the rules. They don't feel comfortable saying, because I said so, that's why. Okay? Because you know what that makes you when you say, because I said so, that makes you an asshole. Right? Which means you're actually a parent. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Anyhow, so just a few thoughts on parenting. So we're gonna and again, it's history, man. I love history. So Colleen and I are gonna spend a little quality time together. That's right. She's gonna hate every second of it. All right. Marine Raider awarded a Silver Star for taking out an armored vehicle IED with a javelin. How about that? What do we got? We got a javelin. Well, let's use that. What's a standoff range? A Marine Raider and sniper with 2nd Marine Raider Battalion has been awarded the nation's 3rd highest award for combat bravery for his heroic actions during the onset of the campaign to liberate Mosul, Iraq from ISIS fighters. The elite Marine Commando. That's right. With Marine Forces Special Operations Command, or MARSOC as it's known, is the only Marine thus far to be awarded the Silver Star for actions against ISIS militants in support of Operation Inherent Resolve, according to Marine Corps Manpower and Reserve Affairs in an article written by Sean Snow today in Marine Corps Times. On October 20th, 2016, geez, 2 years? I'm not sure when the medal was awarded. This is when people are finding out about it. The Marine Raider was a staff sergeant serving as an assistant element leader with 2nd Marine Raider Battalion. As his unit assisted other forces in the operations to isolate Mosul for its future liberation. During the day, his team was hit with sustained enemy fire, and the unit decided to occupy a point between two enemy-controlled villages, according to details in his award obtained by Marine Corps Times. So this is in the award citation. Enemy forces consisting of roughly 25 fighters and an armored vehicle-borne improvised explosive device. An armored vehicle-borne. So it's a vehicle-borne IED, and the vehicle is an armored vehicle. Launched a counterattack against the Raider team's position. The Raider engaged and suppressed the dismounted enemy force with sniper fire, but the armored bomb-laden vehicle continued to barrel towards the unit's position. The raider exposed himself to enemy fire by climbing atop a vehicle to acquire the FGM-148 Javelin anti-tank missile. So it runs out, grabs the missile off the vehicle. The first shot failed to launch, so the raider once again exposed himself to enemy fire to take a second shot with another Javelin missile, this time effectively destroying the explosive-packed vehicle. His actions helped save the lives of his teammates that day. The armored suicide IED are a popular form of attack by ISIS fighters. These attacks are often powerful anti-tank weapons or coalition airstrikes to effectively mitigate them. This tactic has also been adopted by Taliban fighters in Afghanistan who recently have been packing explosive in stolen up-armored Humvees. The tactic has proven deadly at times and difficult to suppress. You know, it's interesting, right? That staff sergeant awarded a Silver Star. In 2005, in the city of Ramadi, a PFC, this was a tandem IED. So, little Opel driving down Route Michigan, which was the main drag through Ramadi, and Marines and Iraqi soldiers in a building, I want to say a four-story building, they're in this building off Michigan. The Opel comes to the gate and detonates. Just as the building was taken under fire from, let's just say, the right. Okay, so as you're looking forward, you begin taking machine gun and small arms fire from the right and RPG fire. So everybody looks that way, and then ba-boom. So the bad guys were pretty good at combined arms. So you're distracted, and then boom. But the boom is only the first IED, right? So then PFC from North Dakota, he gets knocked to the ground, is on the fourth floor with another buddy. So they're returning fire. He's got a squad automatic weapon. He gets knocked to the ground. And he gets up with no other instruction. He looks, and coming through the smoke is a big truck. He knows what that means, right? It's a big container truck. I'm not sure if it was water or some other type of container. And what does he do? He engages the windshield of the vehicle, and he kills the driver, and when the driver dies, his hand lets off the dead man switch, which is on the steering wheel, and the thing goes boom, and two houses or two buildings on either side, it looks like dominoes. They go down. That's how big the explosion is. Gigantic. Right? He got a Navy comm with a combat V. So, you see the difference in how valor is awarded depending on who sees it, and sometimes it's a head scratcher. You know, so everybody in that building, I want to say there's 20 Marines and 10 Iraqi soldiers. Everybody owes their life to that PFC, who then got a Navy comm out of it. So the award system, it's the vagaries of the award system is pretty, I don't know how to say it, but it sucks sometimes. And again, and congratulations to the staff sergeant for, what he did, but you begin to compare valor and see what people get, and it's like, man, the award system, certainly subjected, to say the least. All right, Pentagon outlines its first artificial intelligence strategy. Yeah, this is what the Google people have been, that's why we want to help the Chinese enslave billions of people, because we can't work with our own DOD. Oh, did I say our own? I don't mean our own. Right, I just mean the nation that we're headquartered in, and who protects our intellectual capital, and blah 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 blah, that type of shit. Yeah, we can't help them, but we'll be more than happy to help the Chinese enslaved people. Oh, really? Did I say that? I thought I was just thinking that. Interesting. Yeah, but that V makes it real. Respect. No, you know what? I agree with it. But, you know, you read the stuff, and you read the citation, and you're like, what does it take to get a fucking bronze star, man? You save 30 people? For instance, if he saves somebody else by diving on a hand grenade, he gets a Medal of Honor. He saves 30 people by independent action as a PFC with his head in the game, and he gets a Navy Comm with a V? Like, okay. Doesn't make sense to me, though. Doesn't make sense. I don't know. I don't get it. The plan, the artificial intelligence strategy, calls for excelling the use of IA systems throughout the military, from intelligence gathering operations to predicting maintenance problems on ships and planes. It urges the United States to advance such technology swiftly before other countries chip away at its technological advantage. You know, I had John Allen on. He got appointed to be a member of the board of directors of a company here in the United States, and this is a couple years ago. All right? And so during the interview, he starts talking about what artificial intelligence can do, in terms of the operations of a ship. People wearing monitors, systems being monitored, and what the ship can do. And now, as I think about it, if the Fitzgerald had artificial intelligence, the artificial intelligence would have woke the commanding officer up. Yeah. It would have seen that many contacts in proximity and automatically woke the commanding officer of the ship up. Exactly. Other nations, particularly China and Russia, are making significant investments in artificial intelligence for military purposes, including in applications that raise questions regarding international norms and human rights. Ooh, not the Russians and the Chinese. You're kidding me. The report makes little mention of autonomous weapons, but cites an existing 2012 military directive that requires humans to be in control. Right? The geeks are so fired up about this. Robots fighting over the planet. The U.S. and Russia are among a handful of nations that have blocked efforts at the United Nations for an international ban on killer robots. Fully autonomous weapon systems that could one day conduct war without human intervention. That is such a good movie plot. The strategy unveiled by the DoD this week is focused on more immediate applications, but even some of those have sparked ethical debates. The Pentagon hit a roadblock in its AI effort last year after internal protests at Google led the tech company to drop out of Project Maven, which uses algorithms to interpret aerial video images from conflict zones. So, right, artificial intelligence scanning all this video looking for targeting data, right? Think of all the great civilian applications you could use that for, though. Right? Search and rescue stuff, right? Other companies have sought to fill the vacuum, and the Pentagon is working with AI experts from industry and academia to establish ethical guidelines. Computers fighting over the planet. That's right. There's a screenplay in there, folks. So all you writers out there, there's your next plot. Ohio Man sent me this yesterday. Say Wednesday, maybe yesterday, maybe Monday. Sunken aircraft carrier Hornet, best known for the Doolittle raid, located miles below the waves. And the article I'm looking at, there's a picture of what is would be known as yellow gear on the flight deck, and it's essentially a tractor. And it looks like it's in pristine condition. It looks like it's sitting on an aircraft elevator of the USS Hornet. The research vessel Petrel, P-E-T-R-E-L, crew members are no strangers to historic underwater archaeological discoveries, having located sunken World War II aircraft carriers, destroyers, and cruisers scattered across the floor of the vast Pacific. Originally championed by recently deceased Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen, a philanthropist who also owned the Seattle Seahawks, the Petrel crew found a new wreck about 3.3 miles below the South Pacific surface. The Yorktown-class flat-top Hornet, which is known as CV-8. Finding the carrier, famous for launching the Doolittle Raid on April 18, 1942, the first American air raid on Japanese homeland since entering the war, right, was the Petrel's first mission in 2019, one that was documented and can be viewed in a two-part series on CBS. Quote, "We had the Hornet on our list of World War II warships that we wanted to locate because of its place in history as a capital carrier that saw many pivotal moments in naval battles," said Robert Kraft, Vulcan's director of subsea operations, said in a press release. Paul Allen was particularly interested in aircraft carriers, so this was a discovery that honors his memory. Allen, who passed away last October in Seattle, helped blaze a trail for the crew's previous finds, which include the Juno, the Atlantic-class light cruiser famous for carrying the five Sullivan brothers. If you've ever seen the movie about the Sullivan brothers, they all died on the same ship, the Juno. Back in World War II. The Indianapolis, the sunken Portland-class heavy cruiser that remains the Navy's single greatest loss at sea. The Indianapolis, if you've ever read about it, I mean, the story is horrific. They went into the water, and then nobody came, and you had sailors that died of exposure, sailors that were eaten by sharks. I mean, it's horrible. The story is horrible. So, but this is, you know, this, I mean, for instance, when I was a kid, you read about the Titanic in the encyclopedia back in the day, right? And it was lost forever. And all of a sudden you saw it. And again, the picture that goes with this is absolutely stunning in its clarity. Absolutely stunning. All of a sudden, and the tires still on this thing. The chains, you know, and again, what's interesting about, probably because of the depth that it exists at right now, there, it looks like there's very little, I mean, it's not covered in moss. Like when you look at the tractor, this is what? 1942, so what is that? 58 and 20? 78, almost 80 years ago that this thing's been under water, and there's hardly any sea algae on it. So, 3.3 miles, that probably prohibits that, but I love this stuff. And then there's a series of pictures here that accompany the article. And if anybody, the CBS, there's a link to the CBS documentary, but if anybody knows of another site that has more information on this, please send it, as I'm a fan. Some more pictures. The Hornet's weaponry visible now over 3 miles below the surface. Looks like about, I don't know, that might be a 5-inch gun right there. And then other quad 50 cal, in a turret for air defense. Here's the wing of some kind of, Navy aircraft. And, let's see what else. And just the side of a bulkhead. This looks like damage to the hull from an explosion. So you got that going for it. And then a picture of a Petrel crew member operating the underwater drone while they're doing their thing. So again, I think I love the subject of underwater archaeology and the sunken ships that it finds and what it tells us about our history. So I'm a fan. If you have any other if you have any other links, let me know. This has been a long time coming. I'm glad to see that the State Department is listening to All Marine Radio. It's always heartening to me when the things that we advocate for become national and international policy. So I'm extremely happy about that. Mm-hmm. And don't snicker when I say that, right? So they're listening at the State Department, at the DOD, and like McNamara is saying, why don't we do patrols in the South China Sea with our allies and with partners? And you have the CNO saying, shit, why didn't I think of that, man? And then, you know, his little aide saying, sir, nobody knows you're going to get it from McNamara. Come on. Yeah, you're right. All right, we need to go to a hearing pretty soon so I can get this in the paper. So this is from USNI, United States Naval Institute Press, or News. And they published proceedings, right? Everybody knows that. Headline, Future South China Sea FONOPS, that stands for Freedom of Navigation Ops, will include allies and partners. How about that? Boom. The U.S. will continue. And it's the only way to send the message. China, this is not personal between you and the United States. This is personal between you and the free world, and it's not going to go like this. And so with China, the only way to stand up to China is to for the United States to do its thing. The UK, right, the Japanese, the South Koreans, the Australians, the Vietnamese and their little patrol boats, everybody else says, sorry, we're not playing this game. But you can't ask the Vietnamese to do it by themselves because they'll get their ship blown out of the water. And the Chinese will just stare at them like, nah, now what, huh? So the Vietnamese, you guys can go with us. They won't mess with you when we're around. All right, Admiral Phil Davidson, appearing before the Senate Armed Service Committee on Tuesday, said North Korea represents the most immediate challenge in the region, but China's behavior regarding extending its territorial and economic influence is the bigger long-term threat to remaining remaining the free movement, not very well written, of trade and people in the region. Quote, through fear and coercion, which is the way Beijing does it, Beijing is working to expand its form of ideology in order to bend, break, and replace the existing rules-based international order. Well said, Admiral. Well said. In its place, Beijing seeks to create a new one. One with Chinese characteristics led by China, an outcome that displaces the stability and peace in the Indo-Pacific that has endured for over 70 years. The most visible form of Chinese influence in the way the nation uses islands is the South China Sea to justify its increased territorial claims. International law does not recognize many of these moves, and the freedom of navigation operations are a way to let China know that the international community does not accept these claims, Davidson went on to say. On Monday, the USS Spruance and the USS Preble conducted FONOPS sailing within 12 nautical miles of Mischief Reef. And, oh, by the way, the Filipinos are developing their own reef in Spratlys. Ooh, what? Quote, we've had allies and partners in the region, the UK, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, France, Canada, what? All in one form or another step up their operations in the South China Sea, and I think that shows the international community's willingness to push back. Anyway, the article goes on to talk about the amount of money the United States is spending in the region and the fact that that is going to have to change. So, United States foreign policy and foreign policy investments have been, the air has been sucked out of the room by the Middle East. And at some point, you know, there is a financial cost-benefit analysis that goes with that, right? So how do we do what we do in the Middle East more efficiently, so that we can, right, so that we can do more in the Western Pacific? And, you know, to me, that's, you have to sit down with our partners in the Middle East and say, hey, look, this is what we believe is right for the region, but we need you to, continue to step up financially to make these things happen. Because we have global commitments and we need your help. Interesting story. No, well, let me do a serious story, then I'll tell you an interesting story about flamethrowers at Paris Island. Associated Press, remains of a missing Vietnam sailor identified. The remains of a Tennessee sailor who went missing during the Vietnam War have been identified. The Tennessean reports a funeral for Lieutenant Richard C. Tito Lanham of Union City, Tennessee, will be held on March 2nd after the 27-year-old went missing aboard an A-6A aircraft during a night mission in North Vietnam in 1968. The Tennessee Department of Veterans Services said a team excavated the crash site on Tra Bon Island from October to December of 2017. The team recovered enough remains to share with the Department of Defense, POW/MIA Accounting Agency, and the Armed Forces Medical Examiner. DNA and evidence found at the crash site were used to identify Atlanta. So another one of our heroes comes home after over 50 years of being missing. So, you know, that happens more and more. And God bless the people that do it and help families and communities find closure. And then finally, one more story before we bring on Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenney. We'll do a little bit of a round table today. And here's a headline. It's from Business Insider by Ryan Pickerel. I don't know Ryan. Anyway, the Marines are torching Christmas trees with World War II flamethrowers, and people are loving it. Like what? All right. So there's a picture of in the dark of a Marine shooting a flamethrower. Right? You see the canisters on the back. World War II era flamethrower. Caption, Sergeant Major William Carter, the Sergeant Major of Marine Corps Recruit Depot, Paris Island, uses a World War II era M2 flamethrower to burn last season's Christmas trees at Elliott Beach on February 1st, 2019. Their annual Christmas tree bonfire is a yearly event that was started by the Paris Island Fire Department to educate the public about the dangers of a dry Christmas tree, which is highly flammable, said First Lieutenant Brian McDonald, Marine Corps Recruit Depot, Paris Island, public affairs spokesman told Business Insider. So, in raising awareness, they decided that they would add the flamethrower. They would take it out of the museum, they'd get it in working condition, and they would then go ahead and use it. The flamethrower used in the annual Christmas tree bonfire is an actual Marine-issued M2 flamethrower maintained by the museum. How about that? And has an effective range of 20 to 40 meters. And the weapon is only slightly modified. A handheld propane torch was added to the ignition source to ensure constant ignition, which I guess using the older stuff is temperamental and expensive. And the fuel is diesel fuel, not napalm. But, man, you should see it. While the annual Christmas tree bonfire has been around for a few years, the Marines first introduced a flamethrower to the event last February. The first person to pull the trigger was Brigadier General Austin Renforth, the depot's then commanding general. Jim Glenn is now the commanding general down there now. So I wonder if we'll see a picture of Glenn with a flamethrower. The Living History Detachment, which is part of the Paris Island Historical and Museum Society, offered the use of the World War II flamethrower to light the bonfire. The commanding general jumped at the chance. General Renforth donned the World War II P-41 Marine herringbone twill. If you've ever seen that, I mean, it was at the herringbone uniform, the utility uniform. I mean, it's pretty heavy duty. pretty heavy duty. And General Renforth donned the uniform so he could, quote-unquote, look the part for the show. And everything went off as planned. So, there you have it. Burning Christmas trees. All right, we're going to take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. And, again, if you have a good link for video of the USS Hornet, I would love to see it. So, and here's one more thing, a request. If you have an interface that allows you to sync in both directions, Outlook to Google Calendars and Google Calendars to Outlook, if you do that, can you send me a link on how you do that, where to find the directions, or if you use an app that does that? But I don't want to use a third party calendar app that consolidates stuff. I want an app that syncs the two, right? That operates in the background, and when you put something in Google Calendar, it goes to Outlook. But I like Outlook because Outlook pretty detailed program. So anyhow, don't touch that dial. The Roundtable, which starring Jeff Kenney, Colonel, United States Marine Corps retired, and Tim Lynch, Major, United States Marine Corps retired from McAllen, Texas. That happens next. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up.